1. Begin transmission.
Hello, and welcome to this daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. I am the chairman of this committee. My name is Tobe. What is on the agenda for today? Well, not a whole hell of a lot. I haven't been doing so great, so I haven't been thinking of stuff to do for radio shows. But one thing that's been bothering me, as it does every single year, is Columbus Day. Columbus Day was a couple of days ago, and I've always hated Columbus Day. I've always hated Christopher Columbus and all that frog wash about him discovering America. Well, I got bad news for all of the elementary school teachers out there in the world. There was already people here. Christopher Columbus didn't discover anything. He didn't set foot in North America ever. He landed in the Caribbean, somewhere in the Bahamas, if memory serves, plus the Antilles, and I think the coast of Venezuela at one point in time. I think he made 3 trips. I don't remember what exactly. I don't even care because it's all lies and wrong to begin with. Oh, Christopher Columbus, one of America's greatest myths. So stupid. And we celebrate this guy. We've given him a day. We've given him a holiday in America, even though he's never set foot in any land that is part of the contiguous United States right now, nor did he ever go to Hawaii or Alaska. This is a guy who was involved in sex slavery and other horrible things, killing lots and lots of native peoples. And this is the guy that we've given a holiday to? And why, for that matter, did we pick a day in October? When was Christopher Columbus Day this year? It was October 12th, a Monday. When is Christopher Columbus's birthday? That's right, we don't know it. If you try to look it up, all you're going to find is that we know that he was born before Halloween of October 1451. So sometime in October, or maybe before that, what month comes before October? September, August, and this is all old calendar. And if you don't know about the old calendar and the calendar we use today, boy, you probably shouldn't even be listening to this show, let alone trying to figure out when this show comes on, because the time is in UTC. Oh, I don't know how to work a clock or a calendar. So we just pick a random day in October and make it a Monday so banks don't have to be open. Because, you know, Christopher Columbus was, you know, such a pioneer of banking that, you know, our banks here in America, the country that Christopher Columbus never set foot in, and a holiday that banks have to observe for a guy that had never been here and nobody else observed. Who gets work off for Columbus Day other than banks? Yeah, nobody. I'm of the opinion that we should have Columbus Day on the day that he died. Because that's the one date we do know is May 20th of whatever year. Who cares? But oh my God, Christopher Columbus. You never hear anything about his death or the fact that he was sick or anything. I mean, all you ever hear about is, oh, he discovered America and the Queen of Spain. Yeah, and that's another thing. The Queen of Spain, what was he even doing talking to the Spanish crown? Christopher Columbus was not Spanish. He was not a Spaniard. He was Italian. Why did he have to go talk to a different crown government to get his little foolish expedition funded? Well, probably because the Italians were smart enough or dumb enough to not do it. Oh my God. And so Christopher Columbus sets out on whatever day the history books think that he went out. and he got sick. He got sick from what he thought was the flu and other fevers of the time. And I was reading something somewhere where one of the symptoms was bleeding from the eyes. You know, yeah, I don't know what fever or flu that is, but, you know, what are you going to do? And he suffered from whatever disease he had. Obviously, they didn't know back then. And eventually died about a year and a half later or so on May 20th. Don't I know somebody whose birthday is then? I can't remember. Now, me personally, I prefer to think that Christopher Columbus died a more, even more inglorious and or violent death. Like maybe Christopher Columbus was walking the streets of Venice or Verona or Rome or some Italian city, and some assassin saw him and said, "Hey, there's that jerk who's taking credit for discovering a bunch of crap that he didn't discover. Maybe I should kick his ass." So I imagine this assassin went down to the bazaar, the market, to the street market in the village square, and he went around looking for some cutlery. He finds a cutlery dealer and buys a lovely stiletto, a three-sided one with maybe a little hilt guard, you know, 14 inches long, with a little handle. Slide that sucker down in your boot. And then what you do is you stay in the bazaar, the town square, in the market, and you hide behind the fountain, the village square fountain, and you wait for Christopher Columbus to come by. And when he comes walking by in all of his finery and idiocy, and bleeding from the eyes from a fever he doesn't even have, our assassin takes that brand new stiletto out of his boot, and he sneaks up on leather shoes behind Christopher Columbus, and he takes that beautiful new three-sided stiletto, shoves it into Christopher Columbus's back. And that was the death of Christopher Columbus right here on Anon Radio. My name's Tobe. I'm still the president of the Dubious Goals Committee. Next on the agenda is old news. I gotta just keep going back to that bear that walks into the room in that car insurance commercial. And, you know, if they had any brains at all, why didn't they just get a talking bear? I mean, all the other car insurance commercials have talking animals. There's the talking lizard, there's the talking horse, and there's that beach goat. You know, that goat that I want that's sitting there on the beach. No one wants a goat. I want the goat, but the goat doesn't actually talk. So if you had the talking lizard and the talking horse and a talking bear, then you could put them all in a room and let them talk about stuff. I don't know what they would talk about per se, but one of their topics of discussion might be why that song that we just played didn't seem to have anything to do with Christopher Columbus. And back when I named it, I only named it that just to, I don't know, focus my hatred for Christopher Columbus. I hate Christopher Columbus and this big myth that somehow he discovered America. Okay, well, he didn't discover anything. It was already here. I mean, it's been here. There's already people here. There's no discovery. And second of all, he never even landed anywhere in the Americas. He ended up in the Caribbean. He's in the Bahamas. He's in, who the hell knows? Who cares? And thirdly, if he discovered America, why do we live in the United States of America and not the United States of Columbus or the United States of Columbia? You know what I'm saying? I can't help but notice that we have two continents in the New World, and they're called North America and South America, and sometimes Central America, if you want to count that as its own entity. But generally speaking, this is America. This is the New World, North and South America is the Americas. It's not the Columbuses. It's not the Columbias. That's right. It's because Christopher Columbus didn't have jack to do with discovering America. It was already here. I hate Christopher Columbus and all the lies that we were told in school. I'd rather talk about the lies we're told on TV. I don't need car insurance. I already have car insurance. Why is there always talking animals? I was watching TV earlier, and I went by one of those shopping networks, because there's a jillion of them, and I'm just trying to find the damn game, and they're trying to sell me Kenneth J. Lane jewelry. It's trash, but it got me starting to thinking, you know, I haven't heard that song in a while. What song are you talking about, Tobe? Is probably what you're asking me. Sally Can't Dance by Lou Reed. Let's listen to it now.
Sally dances on the floor. She says that she can't do it anymore. She walks down St. Mark's Place and eats natural food at my place. Now Sally can't dance no more. She can't get the flow. Sally can't dance no more. Sally, she can't dance no more. Sally is losing her face. She lives on St. Mark's Place. In a rent-controlled apartment, $80 a month. She has lots of fun. She has lots of fun. Sally can't dance no more. No, Sally, she can't dance no more. She went and carried on and can't get off of the floor. Now Sally, oh, she can't dance no more. She was the first girl in the neighborhood to wear tight, tight pants, but like a she should. She was the first girl that I've ever seen. Picasso's illegitimate mistress and wore Kenneth Lane jewelry. Hey, it's trash, but
Sally can't dance no more.
Yeah,
Sally can't dance no more.
You tell me about it. She can't get herself off the floor. Hey, Sally, girl, she can't dance no more.
Thank you.
You are listening to the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee, right here on Anon Radio. I am your chairman and host, Tobe. The next topic on our agenda today is, well, first I need to put my glasses down. That'll work. And the next topic on the agenda is, why is my kitchen sink clogged? Yesterday I was cleaning my kitchen, did all kinds of stuff, ran water and used the sink a lot. I washed a bunch of dishes and washed a couple of other things, and by 6 or 7 o'clock at night I was done. And then I went downstairs and I played with my computer and I played with my cat and I played with my TV, and at about 1 a.m. I went up into the kitchen to make more tea, and that's when I discovered that the sink wasn't draining, or at least draining extraordinarily slowly, so slowly as to almost be invisible. So I went up to the bathroom and I grabbed the plunger and I brought it back down into the kitchen and I started plunging the sink, and that did absolutely no good. And so I continued doing that for about a half an hour just to make sure that it did no good. And yes, I confirmed my suspicion. The efficacy of the plunger was approximately 0% or less. The margin of error, plus or minus 1%. That made me angry enough to stop doing it. And I went downstairs and watched TV for a couple more hours, did some stuff, and I went to bed. Woke up this morning, it wasn't any better. So, what's a poor boy to do but to sing in a rock and roll band? Wait, I'm not a street fighting man. So, you know, at this point, being as I grew up the son of an organic chemistry professor at a local university, naturally my first instincts tell me to take a different tack here. And that particular tack is the land of chemicals. Because, you know, better living through chemistry, that's what I, and DuPont, always say. So I ran off to the store and I bought myself a big old industrial 32-ounce jug of Instant Death. At least I think that's the brand. It might be something else. You know, this is one of those products where there's warnings on every surface of the container. You can't fail to miss the warnings that are also printed in three languages. Do not do this, do not do that, do not do this and the other thing. So I poured it down my sink. And, you know, waited the requisite 15 minutes to let that clog cook down and let that lye and bleach go to work. My dad gave me another product. He handed me some stuff and goes, oh, yeah, try this too at some point in time. And I thought, okay, that'll be awesome. And then jokingly, noticing that it was hydrochloric acid, I jokingly said, oh, I'll pour this in there with the Instant Death. And then we really would have some Instant Death, because that's a good way to make phosgene, and nothing gives you a more horrible death than phosgene. So don't mix your lye and hydrochloric acid at home, kids. And so I did the Instant Death process and that had no effect. And so I just finished doing the Instant Death process again. And I will be continuing to do that all day and all night. And I might use the other stuff at some point. Not in conjunction with the Instant Death, of course. But now I'm at war with my pipes. And the thing that annoys me the most is I think I know what's causing the clog. I had a piece of leftover, some kind of beef roast, and it was horrible. I mean, it was all just, you know how tough a roast is, and it's just, no, yuck and gross, and I wasn't going to eat it, hence going down the garbage disposal, and down the drain. So, you know, knowing that this is probably a food clog, what I want to do now is engineer some tiny biomechanism to go down there and eat that crap. So now as I'm sitting here talking, I'm also hooking up my my recombinant DNA splicer to my Raspberry Pi. so I can start engineering some kind of little dude to go down there and make a bunch of them and eat that crap. And I think what I'm going to do is I need a phage. I need some kind of bacteriophage. And let's see, what's my favorite? Wait a minute. I'm not going to talk about any biological gene engineering over the radio. Oh my god, this probably violates 85 international conventions. So, actually, I was just kidding. I was just telling a story about this movie I'm writing about how my drain gets clogged and then I engineer a bug to go down there and eat the drain. That's the basis of my new movie. So, in case anybody's listening, this is all purely fiction. Enough so that, you know, perhaps it's just time to change the subject. Yes, I need a new subject, please. Football! I love football, and I'm watching football now, too. It's on my TV. I've got European qualifiers on. These would be games that are between national teams. And they are trying to qualify for the big tournament next year called Euro 2016. And it's for all the European dudes. And they're going to find out who the best, what country has the best national football team in all of Europe. And it's one of my favorite things to watch. But it's also kind of a depressing thing to watch because as I watch all these qualifying games, I notice that all of the microstates don't do very well, predictably. You know, when your country is only the size of a very small town, there's not a lot of guys to choose from when you're trying to select a football team. And so countries like Liechtenstein and San Marino and Andorra and tiny little guys like that, they tend to get crushed by the football powerhouses like Germany and England and Italy and Spain and everybody else, and they end up not qualifying, so they never make it into the tournament. So you never see any of the microstates in any of these tournaments. Well, except for Monaco, but Monaco's kind of a special case because they do have a team. They actually have a professional team, but it plays in the French league. But the players of that team aren't all residents of Monaco, and so it gets a little bit weird. But I would include Monaco in this idea. I'm leading up to something. You're probably wondering what, and that is when I hit the lottery and make one gajillion dollars, I'm going to start my own tournament. It's going to be the microstates tournament, where we take all these countries that have populations less than my neighborhood and have a separate tournament for them, the microstate tournament, and that way they're playing other teams that, you know, are at the same skill level, etc. And then whoever wins that and comes in second place, then they can be in the European Cup or whatever cup they pertain to. I can't think of any other microstates off the top of my head right now. There's a few, you know. Technically, the Vatican City is one. I don't even think they put up a team, although you could probably make a team out of the Swiss Guard and get the Pope to be the referee. That would be awesome. Oh, but you know what would be even better? Who's the Vatican going to play? I mean, they're even smaller than a microstate. I got it. The Vatican team has to play the Sovereign Military Order of Malta team. And there's a country that doesn't even have a state. The SMOM, the Knights of Malta, don't even have land to call their own country. Their entire country, so to speak, consists of the second floor of a single building. And you can't seek asylum there. But they do coin money, and they do print postage. And remind me to get some of the SMOM, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, stamps. Because they're kind of cool. And you know, now that I think about it, I want some of that money too. Anyway, My time's up. You've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe, and if you stay tuned, you will hear DJ Kumada coming up next. He's always this coolest cat in the schoolyard. So, have fun with that. I'm out of here, and I will say bye.
You gonna be Radio Kitty?